The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. All right, there's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself? Anything?
Good morning. That's all
good.
I got to say.
It's a good start.
There's always interesting things going on at the casino.
Oh, explain.
I don't know. There's like some photo shoot going on at the craps table right now. I don't really get.
Explain. Guy.
Guy dressed up very nice in a suit. Looks very young. And yeah, there's photographers and he's by himself throwing dice.
Suit or tuxedo?
Suit. Oh, and, there's, I didn't. Earlier. It's a black suit, white shirt. I thought there was a bow tie. Not a bow tie.
Thought it was like a James Bond thing.
Mm-hmm.
We get tweets beating the book. Vegas regular. The Barry's steak is incredible. 12-ounce rib cap.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Barry's. Harold Irving. You gave that wrestling story a special delivery. See what he did there? Ryan Thompson. Hard not to lose a little respect for anybody over the age of like 15 that watches wrestling. You said it, Ryan. That Ryan said that, not me. Wrestling
yeah,
people.
Right, yeah.
John Balduzzi. Love the Masters pod with Kelly and Matt. Great chemistry between y'all. You should do a show together on VSiN. greatest show ever canceled in the history of mankind. Las Vegas 514. Yo, Special Delivery Jones. You know that SD Jones? That's what it stands for. That's what it stood for. Special Delivery Jones. Fun fact, he lost to King Kong Bundy in 11 seconds at WrestleMania 1. Talk about getting destroyed. Sheesh. There you go. A little WrestleMania history. Ryan Hyatt, going to need those derby horse cocktail pairings. Oh, horse slash cocktail beer pairings when Drew joins Gil and Kelly this morning.
Oh.
Does Chief Wallaby equal a Harvey Wallbanger? This breakdown will be my best shot at putting together a solid card in a few weeks. Well,
got to love stealing deep dive content, too.
That's
you know?
Right. With that intro, ladies and gentlemen, Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. You can hear by his exhale right there, he is prepping for a spectacular answer to this question. He is the co-host of the Deep Dive Podcast and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. What's happening, Drew?
Oh, not too much. It's NBA playoffs at long last. And, you know, if you can't get excited for this time of year, then I don't know what's wrong with you. We just had one of the greatest weekends in sports with the Masters, right into NBA playoffs, into NFL draft next week. Like, this is
spectacular.
This is the best sports month of the year.
Well, that's interesting. I'll go October, but I understand where you're coming from on this. By the way, what's your greatest moment in play-in history? Yeah, I don't have one either. I don't remember any of them. Do you remember a single play-in game?
Yeah. I typically crush these play-ins betting game by game. So I have five fond memories of these NBA play-in games. Now I've jinxed myself by saying that aloud. I should have just kept to myself there. But big best play-in moment. There was a super competitive game between the Warriors and the Lakers one year. For the 7th seed or the 8th seed, I don't remember.
This is a solid
answer. The Chicago Bulls
I feel like the there was, I mean, my favorite game, there was one, I think it was two years ago where the Heat were in the 7-8 and their offense was just like flat out broken and they were playing a team with a good defense and it was like the total was like adjusted down from a regular season total like 4 or 5 points and it was like, guys, the Heat are not scoring on them and they're gonna pack it in and save it up for the, you know, the eight nine game at some point here. And like, you know, when you mapped out like what the alt under ought to be priced, it was like off by 50 cents, and then sure enough the Heat were not competitive in that one. Pulled all their starters in the fourth quarter. And that one was fond memory for me.
Once again, in the interest of thoroughness, for those who may not know, the winner of the 7-8s become the 7 seed in the respective conference playoffs. The loser gets to play the winner of the 9-10 in that respective conference for the 8 spot in that respective conference playoffs. The loser of the 9-10 is eliminated. Now, tonight, and yesterday I went through the 5-6 year history of the play-ins. Tonight we have a very quirky one. This has never happened before. We have a 10-9 in the East. We have a 7-8 in the West because the Sixers have an arena conflict with the Flyers tonight. So Hornets favored by 6 against the Heat. Suns favored by 3.5. You see the respective totals on the screen. What did you end up doing with these two tonight?
The Hornets Heat total to me is way too high. And this is going one way against me. So that always feels great. But yeah, it was actually, no, I take it back. You know what? It's coming back down.
What are you saying now?
Interesting that 229 now. It was like, it looked like it was on its way to 231 for a minute there. But yeah, no, coming back down now. All right. Well, either way, I think that should be about 222. I'm well off the pace projection here. The Miami Heat are the fastest team in basketball. I don't know if anyone knows that. Is that common knowledge that they play at the fastest pace?
We don't generally. Generally talk pace in the NBA. We really don't.
I love when we get to this point in the season. And I'm like, I ask myself these same questions. I'm like, do people know this? Like, I don't know about things like this.
Yeah, because it's atypical of how you would think of a Spoelstra team, but they play at the quickest pace, 103.4 on the season. Hornets play at one of the slower paces in basketball, 96.8. I'm only projecting 95 possessions per team here. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think this is going to be a really competitive game. This to me has, it is an elimination game. I think it's going to be relatively close in the fourth quarter. I think you could see this pace absolutely slow to kind of game seven type of value per possession, where you absolutely have to get the best look on every possession. The Hornets have never really been in this position before. So even though I have them rated as a significantly better team than the Heat, I'm nervous about them winning this game. And I think in general, the value betting wise is on the under here. Again, my fair is 222. So I'm going to bet the under at close, and I'm going to probably swing on some alt unders down to 222.5.
I asked this of Kelly earlier. I'll ask this of you. If the Hornets lose this game and eliminate and are eliminated from the playoffs, and I'll even pair it with the Clippers tomorrow, will all the NBA hardos get in a room together and just reconsider everything about life?
I mean, the Hornets are, they were like 10 games under 500 and January 4th. They were 25-1 to make the playoffs at that time. Don't ask me how I know that.
Yeah.
I definitely think like the advanced stats were basically saying like, this is a good team. They just are playing poorly and playing unlucky. There were a couple players that they were giving real minutes to who just were wicked inefficient, like didn't belong on the court with the rest of these guys, like tanking team type of performances. And they made the adjustments to kind of get things right. And they started winning. And I don't think the signal that you see with the Hornets is false. Their defense is weak.
I want you all to be right. I want the Hornets to win so we can see a Hornets playoff series, because I want to see your guys' thoughts on them manifest in a postseason series. One-offs are one-offs.
It just makes the East so much more interesting if they're in it. Yes.
Anything on the Suns and the Blazers play in the 7-8 out West?
I'm on the Suns there. I think that number should be 5.5. And I'm pretty excited that we get a crack at 3 here. Don't get it. Blazers are a fine team, but I think the Suns actually measure up fairly well to test the Spurs in a 2-7 series. So like this Suns team a lot more than the market. They've had people kind of look at the way that their season has gone. And in particular, the portion of the season where they didn't have Dylan Brooks, like that was a rough stretch for these guys. But, when you just put together a neutral rating with the players they have available, this is like almost a +5 team for me. So, I would not dismiss them as being able to do something, interesting. In the second round of the playoffs. That said, I think they get a clean win against the Blazers here. This has the whiff to me of a team, of a game that, the Blazers are well out of it in the fourth quarter. And so we see them pull their punches and save it up for the 8-9 game.
I love last week when I asked you, what lines of a series are you looking forward to exploiting? And you said, it's not what I'm looking forward to exploiting. It's, do I have the onions to play the Suns against the Spurs in a 7-2, even if my numbers point that direction? What about tomorrow night's games, the 7-8 in the East, the Sixers and the Magic? Magic lose to an undermanned Celtics team on the final day of the regular season to have to play the road game here. And then the 9-10 out West, Warriors, Clippers. Anything on those two?
I mean, just for the record, the Magic didn't lose to an undermanned Celtics team. They lost to the Maine Lobster Claws in one of the most, absolutely one of the most ridiculous results of the entire
year. Incredible.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that happened. I looked at my phone like five times, like, this is a mistake. This was a game that was actually played earlier in the season. This wasn't Sunday's game. But no, sure enough, the Celtics are tryhards. Yeah. Can't ever count them out. Biggest edge on the board for me of all of the playoff games is in this game. And it is the total. 221. Are we serious? This in every way shapes up as a first to 120 wins. Again, like going back to, you have to be a bit careful in these 7-8 games, because there is a lot of worlds where the fourth quarter is not a neutral game state. It is a unusual game state where one team is incentivized to save their bullets for the next game. That said, the Sixers are an incredibly efficient offense. The Magic do not have the defensive prowess that they have had in years past. The Magic offense actually matches up incredibly well against the Sixers defense. Sixers are a bad defense. I'm a bit surprised that we're getting a look at a total this low. This has like all over written all over it, in my opinion. So love the over in Magic Sixers.
Okay. Dubs Clippers? Anything? No? Probably.
Do we really have to play that game?
We don't. We're not required to. No, just because it's there, we're not required to. We got Drew's thoughts on the series that have been established so far, and see if he has any NFL draft thoughts and bets 9 days out of the NFL draft. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we have been discussing, the NBA play-in tournament tips off today and the NHL regular season coming down to the wire. With playoff spots still up for grabs, every game matters, and so does every bet. VSiN Pro gives you daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays on the VSiN Watch app, so you're ready before the postseason begins. Go ahead of the action now, or get ahead of the action now. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Why do I got to spell out VSiN but not subscribe?
Oh, it's a good question.
Just curious. Hey,
you want to give it a try?
You remember the, you're too young for this, Saturday Night Live, like Eddie Murphy was doing a Velvet Jones sketch, and he was supposed to say subscription, but he said prescription by accident. He goes, and a subscription too. He caught himself.
I don't know, when I was a kid, I used to mix those up all the time.
Drew Didsick, kind enough to join us as always for a second segment here on A Numbers Game. I want to get back to basketball, obviously, Drew, but real quick, we're 9 days away from the NFL draft. I think I speak on behalf of Kelly and myself both. I've got one bet. I don't. How many do you have?
I got one.
He's got one.
Made it yesterday.
How many do you have? Do you ever remember being this close to the draft? And where do you stand on this?
No, this is the latest I've ever been. I have $30 staked.
Nice.
United States dollars.
Yeah.
United States dollars. United States dollars.
I've been extremely hesitant to get seriously involved in putting liquidity into the prediction markets, because I feel like the minute I do, there's going to be a government lockdown on all that stuff. And I'm going to be like, opinions aside, it's clearly sports betting and it's illegal to be doing it. So I feel like there is a real risk in terms of actually getting the liquidity out of that place. But I'm going to have to make a tough decision this week, because there is nowhere to find liquidity in over-under draft markets, or at this point, even position markets offshore. So
bookmaker,
either I'm sitting on the sidelines this year.
Desert.
Not interested.
Yeah. Not interested. God. Okay.
It is, man. I mean, whenever we got the, what was it? The stay on Kalshi or whatever the legalese terms are for, we can't hop on Kalshi, right? Like, I had the same thought as Drew. Like, it was poker website flashbacks all over again. I had so much money on a golf tournament that weekend.
Disagree with both of you guys. Disagree with both of you. It's under the Commodities Exchange, and the president has a son on both of the boards. You'll be fine. That's my opinion on it. But yeah. I understand the question.
Because everybody, yeah. Because the political wind never turns in the United States, right?
Not what this dude has done. Anyway.
We'll see.
Okay, yeah, okay. That aside. Okay, let's get back to the NBA. I want to get to some of these. Well, first, before we get into the series that have been established that tip off on Saturday,
sure.
I just want to ask you this question that I asked yesterday of Wes and Kelly, which is the Spurs had this final game against the Nuggets. They knew, based on 65-game qualification, the Nuggets were thinking, well, we got to play Jokic for 15 minutes. He played for 18. They got him qualified. That's a sidebar. But the Spurs, by winning that game, knowing that Jokic was going to be eliminated, could have decided to say, you know what, let's beat the Nuggets. Let's knock them down to a four. We get to avoid them in the conference semifinals. They didn't do that. They lose. Nuggets end up as a three. And if both teams get to a conference semis, they'll play each other in a best of seven. Do you feel as I do that this was, for those of us who have Spurs tickets, by the way, I just want to point that out. Do you feel that this was a horrific minus EV move on their part?
I mean, yeah, but you're assuming that they had anything to say about it. The great David Roddy was on the other side of the equation here. And when David Roddy gets hot, you just get out of the way. No, the serious commentary is the championship equity for the Spurs swung by at least 6%
by losing that game. Man. Yeah.
If they push the Nuggets onto the other side and only have to go through the Thunder and potentially draw whatever the Wolves are, because very, very tough to see a world where the Lakers come through the Wolves without Luka. They set themselves up for a minus 700 type of round two instead of a plus 100 type of round two. I mean, I don't know. They'll probably be favored against the Nuggets, but I could see that's going to be a coin flip relative to what it could have been if you had gotten, the sixth seed or the Lakers in that spot. So
this is
huge swing.
And it's why I always say, Drew, I go, we care about seeding as fans and as bettors. We overthink seeding. These teams just don't care. It's incredible how much we overrate that. And I'm always shocked by it, even though I keep saying it. But this was a great example of us. Like, if not this, then no one cares about seeding. That just seemed like such a strange move.
The way the Cavs conducted themselves for the final month of the regular season, they clearly were pointing at the four. And they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
They draw the Raptors. So if there's basketball gods, they'll get punished and the Raptors will do something fun there. And honestly, if there's basketball gods, maybe they did that for us because they believed that the Thunder deserved a cleaner path. The Thunder, and the basketball gods watched Spurs Nuggets 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, I'll take a series of that. Thanks.
That was
the
regular season game of the year.
Either that or Magic Celtics. Yeah.
And I believe that was the only Spurs Nuggets game where Wembanyama played, if I'm not mistaken, of the four. If I'm not mistaken, that was the only one he participated in. Yeah. Okay. Let's get to these four series that have been the game ones are all on Saturday. You can comment on the game spread as well, but I'll just give you the series price. On all these, in the East, the 3-6, the Knicks are a minus 290 series favorite at DraftKings, the Hawks plus 230 coming back, and the Cavs in the 4-5, minus 550, the Raptors 4-1. What do you think about those two series prices and the respective game ones?
I'm pretty close to market with Knicks Hawks. I definitely would not play Hawks at plus 230. I guess I'm close to the Knicks number. I think I'm actually at minus 290. The Hawks match up poorly against the Knicks, in my opinion, particularly in clutch. And I think the Knicks are going to find their way to win any close game there. And I played some Knicks exact series result 4-1.
Ooh, okay. Raptors, Cavs.
Actually, yeah, one more comment on that one.
Yes, please.
the game one total.
Oh, yes.
I'm old enough to remember April 6th. These teams played in a close 226.
Yeah.
what are we doing here, guys?
What are we doing?
what are we doing here? This is a big adjustment down from, you know, full strength, like game with stakes that was played, you know, 1 week ago. So that the game one over looks good to me.
It's 216.5 is what I'm looking at now on that one. All right, Raptors Cavs.
10-point adjustment.
Yeah, I can't explain it. Raptors Cavs, what do you think?
Yeah, my numbers say the Raptors are value at 4-1. Not a ton of value. My fair there is, let's click to that tab. Yeah, I'm at like minus, I'm sorry, I'm at, yeah, minus 380 for this one. So it's tiny, tiny sliver of value on the Raps. I think there's better prices about than 4-1. If you want some fun, tiny, small play, putting the Raptors in the mix is probably reasonable. But I have not bet that series at all because my rating for the Cavs right now is like in the 7.4, 7.5 range. So this is, again, neutral rating, neutral court, best estimate at playoff rotation minutes. I think the Cavs would be a 7.5 point favorite against an average team. There's scope for that to get adjusted up pretty aggressively. If, you know, a lot of the data we've got and the signal we've got, particularly from the last month, was not full effort for that unit. So I'm prepared to be surprised that the Cavs are a much more formidable opponent than, you know, kind of what a neutral rating would say. So I've kept hands off on that one.
To the West, the 3-6 series price, the Nuggets are minus 360. .360. Timberwolves plus 290 on the comeback. And then the 4-5, where there is no Luka and there's no Austin Reeves to start the series, for the Lakers. The Rockets, the 5 seed, are a minus 650 series favorite.
Yeah. we can start with the Rockets Lakers, and I can be pretty quick here. My fair is Houston minus 720. There is betting enthusiasm for the Lakers in the series market, which I do not understand at all. This is coming in on them. I disagree. Anyone that is saying Luka will be back potentially for game five, good luck. Like, yeah. This was a grade 2 hamstring strain. Like, that is a month long injury. I don't care what type of experimental treatments you've had. You know, I'll usually after a month, now it's time to ramp up. Like, that is not commensurate to being impactful in any in this playoffs at all. So not counting on Luka. I think Houston comes through, although those games are going to be first to 100 wins. Denver, Minnesota, I think is going to be a competitive series. I think we talked about this last week. Yeah. Ultimately, I think Denver wins 4-2, 4-3, but I played over 5.5 games there, and I played Minnesota plus 2.5 games, and both of those are on the move. Over 5.5 is a better bet, in my opinion.
Over 5.5, the better bet, but also played Minnesota plus 2.5 games. Okay. Drew, always a pleasure. Enjoy the play-in tonight. Play-ins.
Best luck, guys.
You too. Drew Dinsick, everybody, at Whale_Capper. Deep dive. And Bet the Edge podcast. We'll come back. Mark Borchardt, baseball, numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget about the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more information. Sharp Plays. .com. We get tweets beating the book. Real Knicks. I just flipped the show on, and first thing I hear is SD Jones. Didn't have that on my ANG bingo card. I've been a wrestling fan for 50 years, still watch it religiously. Anytime someone laughs at me and tells me it's scripted, I say, what's your point? Movies are too.
There you go. You see? That's I'm not laughing about it. Just asking if it still was.
Because it's packaged as a sport, I guess. Man. Brendan pulled out all my bankroll to DraftKings. I'll be flipping it today. Starts with you guys.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Phoenix Hedge under. I didn't understand, Brendan. I'm sorry. Chris Heath. I was there last year, Friday before WrestleMania. Met Wyatt and Steve. For some reason, I'll be back, but flying in after work Friday. So I'll miss ANG. Oh, Chris, we'll miss you.
Steve Fezzik?
I guess. Suppose.
I like how that was worded. It made it sound like Wyatt and Steve were like having like a power meeting after the show or something like that.
Oh, they can talk.
Those two hang out all the time.
Buddhist Man opening the show with There Will Be Math and announcing that Jake is the first guest. I figured a discussion about the Fakakta NHL point system was upcoming. A dim third grader knows you play to win the game. Not in the NHL. Eliminated East teams have more wins than West playoff teams. Ron Burgundy says that doesn't make any sense. Let's see here. Okay. And we have more coming up. All right. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, and of course, the BetUS Baseball Betting Show, which he does with his cohorts over there at BetUS. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Mark?
Gil, I'm kind of depressed, actually. So, like, I was all pumped up to do the Sonny Gray rap, that, you know, sunny, 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 can't you see the pitches you throw hypnotize teams? And I was just like, I was going to do maybe like a full version of it, but then you dropped. I was listening to the show coming into the office today, and you dropped a halfway home, the pagers blowing up reference to Ice Cube song. And I said, I can't outdo that. There's just no way.
I don't even remember doing it, but I now that you mention it, I do.
You were talking about some guy's four-team parlay. Yeah. And
I said
thought,
he's halfway home.
It took me a while, but it was brilliant. I thought that was the most brilliant rap illusion of the show. And I've attempted maybe 15 of them in the last year. So good job on that.
I can't really take credit for it. It's more, you remember the first HBO scripted show was a show called Dream On,
yeah,
and it was about this guy who just thought in movies. That just, it just comes out. I can't really even explain it. It's a little spectrum-y, I think. Mark, let me ask you a question here. Someone said on Twitter yesterday, they were like, he said, I feel like baseball season started yesterday. And I think because it was a lot of runs scored, big run scoring environment yesterday. It's been super, you know, a lot of parity in baseball up until this point, with the exception of the Dodgers. So I ask you two questions. One is, do you feel like baseball started yesterday? I know for you, it probably doesn't feel that way. Are the Dodgers just going to do this all season long? I guess that's where I want to start. They're 12-4 out of the gate. They're looking like they might make a mockery of the March, April, and the April wins markets. They're great. We know they're great. But like last year, they didn't have this spectacular season where they won 100 games. They leveled off at 98 because they were just like, as long as we keep the Padres at bay. Do you think they're going to have an epic season this year and flirt with numbers that we're not used to?
No, I don't. I think that a team goes through some stretches each year. Something in the back of my mind says 116 games the Mariners won.
They did.
And I think a lot of things need to go right there. And the one thing that If you go to my expected standings board, the thing that's really surprising to me is the team that's leading baseball in defensive runs saved. The Dodgers have 20 defensive runs saved, and that they're 7 runs saved more than the next team, which are the Cubs. And I don't think they're that good defensively. I don't think they're awful, but like they're maybe mid pack. So that's helped them out a lot. And it's just, you know, the talent in this league. Even with the worst team, and you're seeing this with, like, you know, projections for the Nationals, and I think that everybody and their brother, including me, was down on them. They're fourth in baseball, so you see this with teams that could go in and, gosh, Gil, talk about the Dodgers. Getting back to the Dodgers, when they played the Blue Jays, I've never seen such great starting pitcher numbers in my life. And the Blue Jays took them 7 games. So yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, anything's possible, but I would be surprised if they have, I guess epic would be over 105 wins. Yeah. Is that how the definition is?
Yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah. I mean, that Mariners team you referenced, the 2001 Mariners, 116 wins. I just remember that season was impossible. Like, it's just, I remember, like, they would, and then they would rest people on a Sunday and they'd lose 5-0. You'd be like, this is impossible. They can't lose a game. What are they doing? It was just relentless steroid era hitting from that team at that point. And they had some professional hitters like Edgar Martinez in there as well. Let me ask about this early season, about a tenth of the way through the season, one more question, which is, in the early numbers, are there any teams that stand out as, in by your metrics, as super overachieving, super underachieving? I'm thinking just from an eye test, right? The A's are kind of are sneaky better than most people think they are, I think, just from an eye test. And are the Giants as bad as they look?
No, that's a good point. No, the Giants, I think, are better than that. They're 83 in weighted runs created plus. And trying to think of where I have them in the offensive rating. Yeah, no, I've got them 12th in baseball. So I think that they're closer to a 12 than a whatever that would be, 26. And I think that there's like the Nationals. I don't see them sustaining a 117 weighted runs created. Plus the Twins, another team, you know, offensively, they're six. I don't have them bad. They're like 12th, something like that. But you got to be careful with some of these numbers. The fielding numbers are the ones one that I'm amazed at. You know, so they've played. So the Dodgers have played 16 games. They've saved 20 runs, but that's a game. That's incredible. 1.5 runs per game. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow. Who's been the worst thus far, fielding wise?
The Astros. Astros are minus 11 defensive runs saved, and believe it or not, the Twins. So the Twins, the Twins, 10-7 in the standards. Standings, but they should be based on the components, weighted runs created plus, x minus, defensive run save, 7.1 and 9.9. So just looking at that, I think that the Twins are surprising, Gil. I don't think I was the only guy that was down on them this year.
No, you were not.
They've really cost me a lot of money this season.
What did you end up with today? Full slate of Major League Baseball. What do you got?
Well, speaking of the Twins, I'm gonna bet against them again. I mean, you have Mick Abel and you have Sonny Gray, and I think there's a big disparity in both of the pitchers. I've got Gray rated 23rd in my ratings, and then there's 150 pitchers in these ratings, and Abel's 141. And bullpen-wise, I've got a big edge with the Red Sox 6th in baseball versus the Twins 22nd. I think this game should be priced closer to like minus 200 or getting it in the market at minus 130. So I'm going to play them straight. I'm going to play them in a first leg of the base winner parlay, Gil. And then the second leg, I'm going to go to the Yankees. And I think that this is one of those things where I think if this game was lined at the start of the year, I think it'd probably be closer to like minus 190, minus 195. It's minus 160 in the market based on, I don't know, 16 games. And if you look at the components, the Yankees, best team in baseball from an offensive standpoint, fourth best team in baseball from a relief standpoint. I think minus 160 in this game is a good price. And so it's Boston. God, this is a this is a blue blood parlay.
Yes,
Yankees,
it is.
Boston, risk one to win. It looks like it's like 1.8. That's pretty decent. I'll take that.
Can you repeat those Yankees numbers? Because this is for my buddy Will Hill, who's a Yankees fan, and all these Yankees defeatists. Can you repeat those Yankees numbers you just mentioned, bullpen and offense?
I just have them ranked 25% better than an average offense, first in baseball, and then the bullpen's fourth in baseball. So okay. Those are some key components just looking outside of the starting pitching.
Yeah, I'm way more bullish on the bullpen than I think the average Yankee fan, and to hear it through Will's prism anyway, he doesn't trust that offense. But you have them number one. Is that what you just said? Number one.
Yeah, so, and yeah. It's based on ISO power. Primarily last 300 plate appearances, but I also put strikeout percentage and walk percentage in. So I think these are pretty reliable numbers. And I think offensively, they're the best team, Gil, right?
Do we have a straight bet in addition to your parlay, sir?
Yeah, you always ask me that, Gil. I do. Let me take a look at this. Cleveland, I like them today. I think that they should be priced closer to like minus 145, and I think they're might sitting around minus 120 right now. So I like Cleveland.
Okay. Cleveland Guardians is the straight bet from Mark. Mark, tell everybody where they can hear and when they can hear the BetUS podcast.
The BetUS MLB show, Gil. It is 9 a.m. PST, and you've got it on two platforms. One platform's called Kick, and the other platform's called Rumble. So, and I tweet it out to you. So if you follow me on Twitter, I tweet out the show, and you can just get in from there.
Kick and Rumble.
Let's go.
Wow. Kick and Rumble. Sure those aren't dating sites, Mark?
Kick well, we got kicked. We got kicked off of YouTube because we talked about betting too much. So I guess
YouTube kicked
I guess
you off
so,
yet?
Right? They did, which is, I don't know. That's what we got kicked off for.
Always
and maybe I rap too much. I don't know.
Maybe so, that.
There we go.
That was it. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, just reading through some tweets. I don't know. People are tripping. People are tripping. We get tweets beating the book. Rich PSM. He says, that was me at the craps table. Did you see my Kalshi rake being carried away? that you weren't talking about somebody at Craps Table, were you?
The photo shoot.
Oh, that was, maybe that was Rich PSM. Is that what he's saying?
I don't think so. I think he's making a joke.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about jokes. It's supposed to be funny. I don't understand it. Martin Fendrich. Oh, okay, so good. This continues with the Monty Hall problem. And I get a lot of people chiming in on the Monty Hall problem. What I am looking for, again, is... because Steve Fezzik had his son do a pinned tweet now on the Monty Hall problem. I'm like, first of all, get your son off Twitter. That's the first thing. But secondly, I'm like, this is not what will click for people who fight back on the Monty Hall problem. For people who don't understand it, you going to the ace of spades and a 52 deck of card thing and remove 50 cards, that's not going to solve the Monty Hall problem for them, because in that respect, they will understand it when it's 52 things and you're removing 50. Because clearly the human, there's a human element to that where the human being will obviously not, he's obviously not going to remove any of, he's not going to remove the correct, the ace of spades with the 50, right? The 50 is going to be obviously not an ace of spades.
Yeah.
But the odds there in the person who doesn't get it, it's like 151st. When it's a three-door thing, the person who understands the ace of spades one will still reject the one-third thing because they don't understand it's one-third versus two-thirds as opposed to 50-50. Anyway, it's hard on the radio to do, but what I'm saying is there is no one is getting at why someone who doesn't understand will have it click for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I need that wording. No Emu Doug. A little spectrum-y is a lot like a little gonorrhea-y, he says, no apostrophe S. Actually, I think they're a little different. Just want to point that out. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, is my trusted sidekick here. He is here every day, although he's going on vacation later in the week, it should be pointed out.
That I am.
Thursday and Friday he won't be here. Monday he won't be here. So I haven't given you a chance as the resident basketball authority to give us thoughts on these series prices, which I just did with Drew. Let's start with the Eastern Conference series. These begin on Saturday. The 5-4 is the Raptors and the Cavs. The 6-3 is the Hawks and the Knicks. Best of seven first round. Why we have to play a best of seven in the first round, I don't know.
Yeah.
Even
I'm with you. Like, let's just go back to best of five.
Yeah. Cavs are minus 550. Raptors 4-1 in the 4-5. Knicks minus 290. Your Hawks plus 230. On the comeback in the 3-6. Any series bet?
I'm going to derail things for 1 second real quick because I just stumbled across an amazing stat, historical stat. NBA, worst plus minus by a player through their first two seasons since 1996-97.
Ooh, I like this. What's minimum games?
It's an incredible list.
Minimum games.
Good question. I don't know, but everybody that I'm looking at, this is the top 10 worst plus minus. So you'd have to play in a lot of games, right, to rack up a terrible plus minus.
You would, yes.
Yeah.
You would, but I mean, there could be somebody.
These are all like pretty big names.
Like, dude on the Grizzlies had a minus 46 in that game the other day.
So. No, okay. Yeah. So like, this is where I bring it up because yeah. Bob Carrington is now the all-time leader in worst plus minus through two seasons.
He's a wizard, right?
Yes.
Bub Carrington.
Do you have any idea who is number two, though? I would not have been able to guess this. Kevin Durant, number two.
Wow.
Through the first two seasons. I mean, just it's
through his first two seasons with the Sonics.
Yeah, I mean, talking high draft picks, like coming into bad teams, get it. Like, yeah. Elton Brand's number three. Like, I think that makes sense.
Plus minus is an interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
Because if you and me and Chris Foster and Larry Mirror played with LeBron in LeBron's prime,
mm-hmm.
our plus minus might be a lot better than it would be, right?
Right, correct.
So
now, I guess what's really damning on this list is you have number one and number six are Washington Wizards that are still currently on the team. And
Bub and
Bilal Coulibaly.
Okay. Things are looking up.
I see Al Thornton on here, former Wizard too, Florida mm-hmm. State great.
Yeah. They don't look at plus minus over there in D.C.
Okay, actually, back to the series. That I loved that, though.
I love stuff like that.
And it's like, okay, Kevin Durant's number two, and it's by almost 400.
How do you feel about plus minus as a stat generally?
No, you just summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
It can be misleading. I think overall, it gives you a pretty good description of what both team and player. But I think it's not. I think it's team and player a lot of times, kind of like you're hinting at with LeBron and people that are playing with him.
Yeah.
As opposed to just a player only stat. I think you need to be careful with
it. Does lead to fascinating historical analytics versus eye test debates over the years. I just mentioned Bob earlier on the show. Bob famously at Sloan Sports Conference in a argument with Jackie McMullen, who covered the Celtics at the time, Bob saying Rajon Rondo is not as important to the Celtics as Jared Sullinger was at the time. And this made Jackie McMullen's head explode. Mm-hmm. Well, how could you say something like that? Well, when someone has a good enough sample size of this, it is meaningful, right? If it's not polluted, and Rajon Rondo's on the court at that time with Pierce and Garnett a lot, right? What was the other one with him? Oh, the famous one on a numbers game, which I reject wholly, which was at the Warriors' peak when Bob said, Klay Thompson, not as important to the Warriors' success as Kevon Looney. That was the other one.
Oh, yeah.
There was that. So anyway, that's an interesting conversation.
Looney caused a lot of problems for a lot of analytics guys back in the day.
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right. Cleveland and Toronto. Let's start here. I have very similar. It sounds like Drew and I are pretty similar thoughts on a lot of these. Cleveland, Toronto. I did not expect Cleveland to be this big of favorites. I thought this number was a little high on the Cleveland side.
It's a little down from where it was, too. It was even higher.
It's come down a little bit. The problem is Drew didn't say it. I'll say it. Does that mean I really have any interest in betting the Toronto Raptors, though? No, not really. Like, I still think Cleveland takes care of business. It's really hard to draw much from what these two did during the course of the season. Played three games. All of them were before December. This Cleveland team obviously looks very different. I've been higher on Toronto than most, I feel like, during the course of the regular season. They were a team I had over on win total bets on. Manuel Quickley being questionable for game one is a very, very big problem for them. Kind of the knock on them, Gil, was, all right, you don't really have, you've got three kind of go-to guys that would all be like number twos or threes on another team. They all shoot mid-range shots. Nobody's really spreading the court. Nobody's really attacking the basket. Defense might be pretty good, but that's kind of what you're getting offensively. So I think it does. I think rightfully so, people say it limits what your ceiling can be. And I think that's true. And I think going up against a Cleveland team that is very well-rounded, let's see how they come in health-wise with their team. But it looks like kind of the big four should all be there for them. And Cleveland wins this. I don't have much besides. I think there's a little value on that Toronto price, but I'm not going to be running to bet it.
Knicks Hawks.
Yeah, Knicks, Hawks, I do like the Knicks. Drew, I think, said something similar. What did he say he was going to do, a Knicks in five bet?
Yes, I believe so.
I think that's what he said. Yeah. I already laid a game and a half. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. This is, I'm interested, kind of like he joked about with the Hornets. This is kind of like that time where I have to like hit the reset button and it's like, well, what does the whole world think about these teams and these matchups now? Like, and I have a feeling a lot of people are going to hear Atlanta is this since the All-Star break and not really look at some of the bad teams they beat up on. But I got to give Atlanta some credit because we were saying that for weeks, but like then they did go out there and beat some good teams. So like, I think there is something sort of special going on there, but I think overall roster strength, this is just a mismatch. The Knicks are still good. I've said this since the summer when talking about this team, and I don't think it's really changed. As far as the East goes, they've just got the highest floor for me. What we see out of Brunson in the playoffs is always special. And then this specific matchup, Drew touched on it a bit. You don't have the pieces on Atlanta, the true pick and roll threats, to really get the Knicks in trouble like we've seen in past playoffs these past couple years with the Brunson-Cat defensive combo that everybody tries to attack on that side of the ball. I don't really think the Atlanta Hawks are going to be able to do that. What they usually are doing are attacking with their wing players like Jalen Johnson, who is awesome. I think OG Anunoby, though, is going to be able to offset him a little bit. So there's that on that side of the ball. And on the Knicks offensive side of the ball, while Atlanta has some good defenders to throw at Brunson, I think we're looking at a pretty big Karl Anthony Towns series. Like Okongwu, I think, is going to have trouble with him. I don't think they really have. I don't really think they're going to get some of their smaller wing players on him. So, I like the Knicks. This series price is even coming down. I see a minus 250 right behind me here at Circa. I might just go bet that even more today, but I laid a game and a half. And I'll probably bet them in 5-2 a little bit.
But long-term, let's say somebody missed the entire 82-game schedule. They saw the playoffs last year and the year before and the year before, and they came back and they just showed up for the playoffs. The Knicks and the Cavs are just going to be the exact same teams, aren't they?
Oh,
in terms of how far they get.
I think so. Yeah,
I think so too. Western Conference, we'll do that. And math and baseball with a prop. There will be mathematics next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.